One snap. One drive. One team could make the history books. And for 50 years, WHJE has been the voice of the Greyhounds. This is your team. This is your time. This is your legacy. Carmel football starts now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this edition of WHJE Varsity Football here on 91.3. I am John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. It is a beautiful day for some football. The first home game here at Carmel Stadium. Trinity of Louisville has come to face the Greyhounds. Jesse, give us a little bit more about this game.
Well, first of all, I just want to say I absolutely love the atmosphere here at Carmel Stadium. We're about 3 minutes away from kickoff. But yes, as you mentioned, Louisville Trinity coming up, a several hour drive coming all the way up from, of course, Louisville. They come up to play in this one. A lot of hype around this game as Louisville is one of the top-ranked teams in the nation, currently seventh according to USA Today in the media poll. Carmel coming into this one, coming off a pretty rough win, but a win is a win nonetheless. 6-2 against Arsenal Technical last week.
Yeah, Jesse, that's a good point, you know, to bring up. Carmel came off of a tough win, and it definitely didn't feel like a win in our book at all. And they really struggled. We really began to see kind of where the Greyhounds are offensively. And with a very, very young line, you know, they're starting. They have some seniors on there, but we're talking about guys like Jacob Victrup, who his work ethic is incredible, but he's only been playing ball for 2 years. And so a lot of the fundamentals, he just hasn't had the opportunity to learn. And then we go to the other side of the ball now. The man with the ball himself, Nate Thompson, you know, a junior. And it's just a lot of pressure to put on these guys. You know, he's had to really step up and become a leader. And talking to him, just the amount of, like, anxiety that he goes through as stepping up and being that leader. And then I hate to say it, but the man who's then receiving the ball from the snap, and that is the quarterback, John Lampe, who just really has not stepped up into his game.
And Lampe, you know, it's been one game, so we're going to say that much. Give him a little bit of time. Let him play in front of his home crowd, as it looks like Louisville Trinity is going to receive the opening kickoff here tonight. But going back to Lampe, last season, 60% completion percentage, 6 touchdowns and 971 yards in 8 starts. So give him a little bit of time. Let's see how he plays in this game. If he does come out, a lot of rumors swirling around, but we're going to see who the Greyhounds go with.
And Trinity's going to receive, which means that the star quarterback, number 5, Reggie Bonifon, is going to come out here. He's a Louisville commit. He'll be playing under the likes of Teddy Bridgewater, a very fantastic cornerback. And I'm very excited to see him come out. He is really a kid to watch.
So it looks like it will be Adam Kramer will be kicking off for the Carmel Greyhounds towards the left side of the field. And this one is away. It bounces at the 10-yard line. And 22, Cody Swabek is going to take this one. Approaching the left side of the field, breaks a tackle. Still on his feet after a big hit there by the Carmel receiving team. It looks like Adam Kramer's going to get in there on that tackle close to the 15-yard line.
And so Kramer, who didn't have a good game last game against Arsenal Tech, comes out with the tackle on the kickoff. You don't see that happening. Looks like he was taking some animosity out. So good job by Kramer to get in there and get a little physical.
So we are just on the way, 11:50 remaining here in the first quarter of this one, Carmel versus Trinity, one of the most hyped games of the year, definitely on this schedule. And we get a chance to see this quarterback, Reggie Bonifon, and this Trinity offense, who was very efficient in their last game. They're going to come out in a shotgun, almost pistol formation, very similar to what Carmel runs, but they have two wide receivers, one on each side. And he's going to try to hand it up to Brooks off the left side. He does, off the tackle. And Carmel's defense is going to wrap him up in the backfield. Led charge there.
And so, again, Jesse, that's something we talked about before, that defense has just been so strong this year. And, you know, that linebacking core, like we talked about, they got guys like Ryan Sondles and Sam Story and then Mitch Lindgren. And then the depth there is just endless. They've got guys like Anthony Mazza and then guys like Nick Sinar. And it goes on and on and on, and seniors and seniors on top of seniors. That's really something we're excited about. They're going to be able to penetrate those holes on a very young offensive line for Trinity.
And that tackle is actually made by Jack Conley. We were talking about him in the pregame show. Had a huge game last week. But here comes a shotgun formation, two to his right. Bonifon in trouble. He's going to have to rush it out of the end zone, trying to get back to the line of scrimmage, and he's going to be wrestled down at the 1 yard line, and that's going to be the first sack of the game for the Carmel Greyhounds.
And so already we're seeing Bonifon struggling, and that's something we talked about, that 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 blitz is something that the Greyhounds have to bring tonight. You can't force him to the outsides because he will run, but at the same time, then you can't bring those outside linebacker blitz because he'll run up the middle. And good job there by the Greyhounds to contain him and almost force a sack in the end zone there.
That one was made by Mitch Lindgren, another one of the senior linebackers on this team. Four wide set, three to his right from the 1 yard line, deep in his own territory. Bonifon with all day to throw. He's looking deep down the field, has an open man, but that one is underthrown. A mistake by Bonifon is going to cause a quick three and out for Trinity.
Exactly, and that one was intended for Drew Chandler. A little bit underthrown there by Bonifon, something that we didn't see him do versus Nashville last game. So it's going to be interesting to see. They've come out real lackadaisical this first drive. And, Jesse, that's one of the keys that we really think led to that loss for Trinity was the fact that Nashville was able to stop them with two drives of three and outs.
So it looks like we are going to have a punting formation on this fourth and 10 deep in his own territory. Gets it away. Looks like Baldridge and Smith back deep. Baldridge will take it at his 39-yard line. Has plenty of room to run, but he's going to be wrestled down there close to the 32-yard line. Tackle made by number 52, Damon Lowe, of the special teams crew.
And so Damon Lowe coming in there already for the special teams. That's another game that is almost underrated there and kind of is unappreciated sometimes is that special teams game. And we're talking about the kickoff returns, the punt returns, even the punt team, and something that Adam Kramer struggled with last game. And then really bounced back, and it made a huge difference in the play style of the Greyhounds here.
And this is what everyone wants to know. Isaac James is playing quarterback for the Carmel Greyhounds, will be coming out in the pistol formation from the Trinity 30-yard line. He has three wide, two to his right. He's going to hand it off to Perkins off the left tackle. He breaks a tackle. He's going to be brought down near the 22, but a penalty marker near the 25 might be bringing this one back.
And we're hearing the omens from the coaches up here in the booth. It looks like it might be holding, maybe a clipping call here, and it is going to be holding on the Greyhound, so that's going to move him back, something that, I mean, to say the least, you don't want, but it just kills that momentum right out, especially when Isaac James comes out and has a nice little run there.
You know, that's kind of a demoralizing feel for a running back, especially for Perkins. That happened to him a couple times last week. You finally break into the open field, a great run on first down, and all of a sudden you feel your team start to come back in worse position than you were before. It's going to set up about a first and 14 there on the left hash with 10:05 remaining here in the first quarter. James trying to direct this offense. They have two backs. Very interesting formation. They got to split backs with Perkins and Pascal. Modified pistol formation. Same receiver, and it looks like he's going to go with the pitch, and Perkins loses that one, has to fall in it on the 40-yard line. Almost a very costly mistake right there by the Greyhounds.
And so both teams coming out very lackadaisical. I know it's only the first drives, and obviously tensions are high. You know, when you're the number seven team in the nation coming up to, well, this at Carmel High School, one of the biggest stadiums, and trying to play and come out just in the game, it's tough to do. And you know, obviously Trinity with their legacy, it's tough for Carmel to balance that.
Four wide pistol formation from the Trinity 40-yard line. He's going to have four wide receivers, three to his left this time. Baldwin is going to be way over towards his left. Roberts is going to be over towards the right side of the field for James as he drops back under pressure, runs up the middle, breaks a couple tackles now back towards the middle of the field. He breaks away, penalty marker back towards the 45. He's in the end zone. The initial ruling is a touchdown, but we are going to wait to see. This one might be called back.
And we saw something like this last game versus Arsenal Tech where a nice pass from John Lampe to Thomas Baldwin on the left side of the field. And, yep, this one's going to be coming back, folks. Man, two holding penalties already in the first quarter and resulting in massive damage and loss.
And that's scoreboard damage right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, James was already out of the area by the time the penalty was committed, and he was home free. And we see there, though, something positive to take away from the play, the dynamic that Isaac James can bring to this. Absolutely nothing going in the passing game right there, and he is able to just take off with all that track speed of his.
And bear in mind that Isaac James has started this season as a wide receiver, and they just moved him back this week to quarterback. He hasn't played quarterback in 2 months. And so, obviously he's doing a lot of running, which is, you know, different than throwing the ball. But at the same time, he's settled in really well. And I'm John Lampe on the sideline. I'm starting to wonder, you know, when are my minutes going to come here?
Second and 39 from their own 45-yard line, moving in the wrong direction. He hands it off to Perkins up the middle. He's going to gain about 2 yards right there, setting up a third and very, very long.
And so the defensive line looking pretty strong there for Trinity, something that is a little iffy. You know, their defense is one of those, it's a hit-or-miss type thing. They're very inconsistent, and that line is strong. But again, we talked about that secondary, very, very weak. And so now we're going to see Lampe come into the game now at the quarterback position.
Obvious passing situation as Lampe drops back, four wide, three to his left, fires over the middle, finds Baldridge at the 20-yard line. He breaks a tackle, is going to be brought down at the 5-yard line. And a big clutch play there from John Lampe on third, and it seems like forever. And what a way to come in your first home game, first pass. Great job there by Lampe.
And what a way for the Greyhounds to kill two birds with one stone there. Lampe gets his shot. He connects downfield, earns his minutes. And then again, they're able to just wreak havoc on that secondary. And now Trinity is on their heels.
And now they're going to bring back Isaac James in more of a rushing situation. So maybe the possible two-quarterback system is exactly what the doctor ordered on a 48-yard pass by John Lampe. With 8 minutes remaining here in the first, they set up at the 4-yard line of Trinity with one wide receiver. That is Austin Roberts way over towards the left. They're going to hand it off to Pascal. He's going to try to barrel it up the middle. Gains a couple yards, gets inside the two.
And Shakir Pascal is one of those guys that he's always fighting. And we see him at the end. He's just climbing over guys to get that extra yard. And that is really beautiful to have because Perkins does that with a lot more speed. Pascal does that with a lot more power. And even that burst off the line. And so just the fact that the Greyhounds have such a diverse running game is incredible, even with James as the quarterback.
Same formation as James will have the split backs and the pistol formation with Roberts out to his left. Loses the snap, able to get up back on his feet, running around in the backfield, trying to outrun the defenders, moving around towards the sideline, goes towards the end zone. It's going to be dependent on the spot, but he's going to get back to the line of scrimmage. Almost had a touchdown there, but making something out of absolutely nothing, if not negative, right there as he lost the snap and able to get back to the line of scrimmage and keep possession.
And, man, everyone's starting to sit on the edge of their seats as we watch James almost doing circles and figure eights in the backfield. He's able to turn it up to the left side of the field, tiptoeing, and he was able to hit the marker down. And we were like, oh, touchdown, no. But a good job there for James to make something out of nothing.
You know, that's kind of one of those plays that you're used to, you know, when you're a kid in the backyard playing football with your neighborhood friends, just kind of running around trying to avoid everybody at all costs. Ends up working. Similar formation this time. Roberts lined up on the right side of the field from the 2-yard line. Will be third and goal for Isaac James. And we will have a timeout from the Carmel Greyhounds. Big timeout right here. And we are going to take a break for WHJE Station Imaging.
For 50 years, WHJE Radio has been your local source for Greyhound football. Join John Perkins and Jesse Smith for the 2013 football season as they bring expert analysis straight to your dial. 91.3 WHJE Carmel.
Well, folks, that is just one of the many changes to the sports department here at WHJE. A big shout out there to Lonnie Perkins, who's done an incredible job on the images for us, really giving us that very unique sound. And so a big thank you to him. And folks, if you're just tuning in, the score is still tied at zero. We're 7:08 into the first quarter. But, man, has it been a great game. Back and forth football now. The Greyhounds are creeping into a Trinity touchdown area. So we're getting a little nervous here. Here's James.
From the 2-yard line, third and goal. They give it off to Pascal up the middle, and he is going to be stuffed right at the line of scrimmage. Absolutely nowhere to move. So this is an interesting situation. It is fourth and goal, but against a team like Trinity, you might not have this kind of opportunity again.
Exactly, and these are one of those moments that it can be the game. And if you don't start putting points on the board, there's this funny thing about football that the other team does. And so it's hard for – you really have to make the most of all these opportunities. And we'll see if James can do that here.
Didn't even cross the mind, and the offense will stay out on the field. Fourth and goal for Isaac James. Same pistol formation. He takes the snap. He's going to keep this one, tries to go for the option, in a little bit of trouble in the backfield, and he's going to be stumbled and brought down for a loss and a turnover on downs for the Carmel Greyhounds.
So a big-time stand for a small-time defense out there. Good job by the Trinity Shamrocks to almost silence the Greyhounds here early in the game. And now it's something that that Carmel's going to really have to almost backtrack again.
But something to take away from that first drive, the two-quarterback system was effective. Isaac James in the running game and John Lampe showing off the arm strength to Baldridge over the middle, the 48-yard pass. Maybe we'll start to see more of that as Bonifon will come back out under center this time in a bunched-up formation. He has three wide to his left, one man in the backfield. That is Brooks. He's dropping back. He's going to hand this one off up the middle, and it looks like we're going to have a penalty marker. But a nice tackle right there by Kendall Hune and the rest of his crew.
Brooks has almost been kind of a weird halfback. I guess that's really the only way to say it. They put him out in the slot every once in a while, and they let him go out for some receptions, and he's a really good bubble screen kind of a guy. But when they put him in the backfield, it seems like he struggles. And not to say that Trinity's run game is rough, but it's definitely not the kind that that a guy like Reggie Bonifon wishes he had, you know. And that's one of those comparisons that you see when you have an incredible quarterback, but he doesn't have the run game. It's really hard to make progress and doesn't give him a lot of options. You really know what's coming. It's predictable.
So it looks like he's going to come back out in a shotgun formation, three wide to his right side from his own four-yard line deep in his own end zone. They're going to get off to Brooks off the right tackle. He's at the 15, spinning around to the 16. Good run for him. He's finally brought down by the secondary of the Carmel Greyhounds.
And I'm going to coin a term right now. I'm going to call it we're going to call it announcer syndrome. And it's this whole idea that when we say something, the players on the field do the exact opposite and prove us wrong. So right as I say, hey, Donald Brooks, you know, he doesn't do a lot in the backfield. He gets a nice run, you know, for about 12 yards and is able to kind of work up some of that progress again. So, hey, good job by Brooks.
Hurry up offense right now. I formation are going to give it up to Brooks again. Right tackle approaching the sideline, and that was on second and one, so he's going to pick up the first down after a gain of about three. So starting to move the chains now with the running game. Let's see if they try to air it out here in the ensuing play.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, one of the things we talk about is Bonifon is so fun to watch when he has a lot of control and when he's got that option. I think that's something that Trinity's going to have to develop. They're going to have to really keep the Greyhound defense on their toes. You know, you talk about guys like Aikens out there in the secondary and Conway. You got to be careful when throwing it out to those guys. They're practically receivers.
So shotgun formation, four wide, three to his right with Brooks in the backfield. He's going to be passing this time under pressure immediately. He's going to be chased out of the pocket. He's going to be downed at about the 30-yard line, taking a big shot. But the chase given there by the Carmel Greyhounds defense.
And so a very good play there. That was number 42, Brandon Todd. We haven't called his name a lot. Almost that pack of Greyhounds coming there at the sideline. And it was funny, Bonifon just kind of trotting over there, not really trying to get too many yards, but a nice little pickup there. So it's going to be about second and short. A very doable situation here, maybe for the pass. And they're going to come out in that pistol, which is, we haven't seen him too much of the pistol.
So 5:08 remaining from their own 31-yard line. Second and one situation from the right hash. He's got three wide, two to his left. Fakes the handoff. He's going to be rolling out to his right all day to throw. But Sondel's giving chase and a big hit. And he's going to be brought down for the sack. And Ryan Sondel's brings him down almost uncontested.
And so that's that senior presence that we talked about. Kind of that captain mentality. He had a fantastic game against Arsenal Tech last week, coming up with some big stops, and he really provides that stonewall type of a mentality. So Ryan Sondel's coming up big. That's going to keep Bonifon on his toes. Something that we haven't seen Bonifon do a lot of is go down. So great job to Sondel's in that linebacking core.
And it was kind of a delayed blitz. The protection was excellent early on, but then Sondel's just racing on in there. Carmel's showing blitz right now, 3rd and 17. Drops back the pass, finds Sabek over the middle at the 40-yard line, has a first down and a lot more. He's finally going to be brought down by Luke Parker and Ryan Sondels. So a big first down right there as Bonifon shows off the arm strength.
Yeah, and I think that's something we talked about, that not only does Bonifon have that arm strength, and he's got that release, much like a D1 quarterback, but man, can he thread the needle. I mean, that's something that a lot of high school guys can't do. You know, they can throw it long, and we saw Lampe do a good job out there when he, his first rep of the game, came out and threw a nice shot up the middle. But, man, Bonifant, third and 20 is not out of his ballpark.
So from their own 41, right in the middle of the field, he's going to come out with a four-wide set, three to his right. Nobody in the backfield, under 4 minutes to go here in the first, still no score. Looking to pass under pressure, runs up the middle, has all the room he needs as Sam Story is finally going to bring him down, loses his helmet in the process, just short of the first down marker across midfield.
Bonifant barreling through the middle of the field there, pushes his own right guard, number 51, Bryant Colvin, down with authority, saying, get on the ground, the freight trains are coming. So Bonifant, again, just keeps surprising us each time.
So right at about the 50-yard line, we'll set up a second and two off the left hash. See what formation they go with. Looks like they're going to sack four on the right side. He's going to go on the center. Also has a receiver. What a mass movement right here. So they're going to put Trips over towards the left. One receiver back towards the right. And Brooks back into the backfield. Takes the snap. Looks for the screen over towards the middle. Depends on the spot. And actually, they're going to give him the reception right there. Great catch there by number 8, C.J. Ott. We saw him have a pretty productive game last time around.
Yeah, and Ott's one of those guys that, he's not starred. He's not one of those targets that you look for, but he's a reliable set of hands, you know. And we saw him really come up big last game versus Nashville. Nashville targeting, of course, some of the big guys like Cody Swabek. And so Ott really providing that other option out there.
Same formation, except they have two receivers to his left, three to his right this time. 2:48 remaining in the first. They put Brooks in motion. He's going to hand it off to him off their left tackle. Plenty of room to run off the left sideline. First down, and Mitch Davis finally making the stop at about the 33-yard line.
Good tackle there by Mitch Davis. Almost flopped on him there, but, hey, a nice run there by Brooks. And, again, that's something where he's so deadly. You know, you put him in motion, let him run a little bit, and, hey, great blocking by the receivers, too, on the left side for Trinity. And I'd like to see him open up that spread offense a little bit. We saw a lot of that against Nashville. But they're almost playing a little more conservative. They're running that pistol. And right as I say that, they come out in the shotgun with two to the right.
A lot of movement, a lot of moving parts, but he has four wide receivers. They split the difference. He drops back to pass on first and 10. He finds Brooks once again over the middle. Brought down at the 25-yard line. Going to be close to a first down.
And pardon me, but that was number 10, Rod J. Burns. There with the reception. So threw him in there. Another little option you got to watch out for. And a good reception there. And it is interesting. You look at Bonifant and the way he's able to look guys off. You know, they've got that double screen, that double wide receiver screen working on the right and left side. And it's like we're all almost scanning with the defense. Where is he going to go? And they're just a very sound play.
Split back. Shotgun is going to be moved. A lot of movement right now. A minute 47 remaining in the first. They're going to have three wide receivers to his right, and that's all. Looking for the screen. They find Brooks at the 30-yard line. Trying to make the tackle as soon as he's going to be thrown out of bounds there by Mitch Davis. But he's still going to have enough, looks like, for the first down, and they do on second and one. They move to chains once again.
And again, Mitch Davis has been all over the field there in that free safety position. Done a very, very impressive job today. He's got himself a pair of good tackles even just on this drive. But, hey, Trinity's starting to creep into that red zone a little bit, and that's an area where Reggie Bonifant is fantastic.
From the Carmel 21-yard line in the right hash, Bonifant comes out into pistol formation, Trips to his left, and a receiver to his right with Brooks in the backfield. Minute 38 remaining in his first quarter, still no score as Trinity and Bonifant rolls out to his right, looking to pass. Sondals giving chase in the end zone, and it will be a touchdown, and that is Rod J. Burns, who had a big catch a couple plays ago, but just like that, it is 6-0 on a threading the needle pass, like you mentioned earlier, by Bonifant.
And Rod J. Burns is, again, like one of those guys like C.J. Ott that we compared before, who's really just a guy they throw in there, but he still comes up with a big play, and that just helps a quarterback, Reggie Bonifant, so much that he's got like 6 or 7 options as starters, and then they can still rotate guys in like Ott and like Burns there. And so Burns coming up with a great touchdown reception there. So 6-0. Here's the extra point attempt.
Looks like this is number 98, Andrew Day, and that one is going to be up and good. So 7-0 lead right now for Trinity on their second drive. We're going to stay tuned for a little station imaging. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.
WHJE would like to thank the Owens and family.
All righty, folks, you are back with us here. Just a special thanks again to all the people who make WHJE happen. This sports department is very thankful for you. We're very thankful for Brian Spielbeller, who's our director, has done an incredible job, and he's actually coaching the Greyhounds tonight. So a very, very busy guy. And hey, we're going to resume again. Score, Trinity is taking a nice lead, 7-0 on the Greyhounds. A minute 31 remaining in this first quarter.
And here's the kickoff. Robertson Perkins back deep to return, and a booming kickoff right there as Roberts is going to take this one. Automatic touchback rules as soon as it hits the end zone. So the Carmel Greyhounds will get this one at their own 20-yard line.
And you know, Jesse, I really like that rule. I think there's a lot of new safety features that not only the NCAA, but also the high school associations have done a good job around the country of really becoming aware of. You know, in recent years, the talk has been concussions. And it's something that I know you've personally have struggled with and you've dealt with. And so it's nice to live in an area where people are aware of that and people are protecting the kids. And, you know, high school is just one stage in a lot of stages of life, and it's not worth potentially harming yourself permanently.
Absolutely. It's all about the health and safety first, as the Carmel Greyhounds will come out in the pistol formation, as James will have two to his right and one to his left from his own 20. He is going to give this one off to Perkins, who has some room up the middle. He's going to be barreling through close to a first down across the 30-yard line. Looks to be just short, possibly setting up a second and inches.
And Perkins, another one of those guys we talked about. He's a very, very elusive back. You know, he's second on the team in average yards per carry, 4.9. He's got 7 rushing touchdowns last season. He's just, again, like we talked about, excellent off those tackles and guards. Really got to stop this guy.
So same formation here for James, as he almost got the guy to jump, and it looks like he did, and that's going to be an automatic first down, and James going with the hard count that time is going to move the chains for the Carmel Greyhounds with exactly a minute to go here in this first quarter.
So I think that's going to be on number 47, Adam King. Again, something that we're not really used to seeing with this defensive line. They're one of the more sound parts of the defense, like we talked about. And hey, that's just some free points, some free yardage there for the Greyhounds.
And they will set up this time, same formation except with Joey Scott in his tight end to James's right. Almost getting the defense to jump once again. He's going to take a look over towards the sideline. Get an extra signal there from Coach Wright. Under a minute to go from his own 35. They are right in the middle of the field as far as the hash marks go. He's going to take this snap, give it off to Perkins off the right tackle. He's going to gain a couple of yards, still moving those legs. He's going to actually pick up 4 from what it looked like, possibly a gain of 1 or 2.
And these kind of like short yardage runs here, they're a great way to slowly chip away at almost that lead as well. And as we're starting to tick down the clock here for the end of the first quarter, it looks like the Greyhounds are going to try to make one play off here.
James looking back towards the sideline has 8 seconds to work with here before the end of this quarter, 5 seconds and counting, and no rush to do this one. It looks like the Carmel Greyhounds are just going to let this one run out.
And so at the end of the first quarter, the score, Trinity is on top, 7-0. Carmel still got the ball. They're trying to make a charge back. Hey, when you come back, more varsity football.